Hey everybody, this is Pastor Travis from AOL Church, and I want to thank you for joining us on our podcast. I pray this inspires you, encourages you, and leads you to your next step to connect with God. Enjoy the message.
A story I heard many, many years ago was about Charles Spurgeon in England back in the turn of the century, or 19th century, I guess. He went to visit one of his parishioners that had worked for the Queen of England. And he went to her house, his very modest house, in fact, just a one-room house, dirt floor, curtains on the windows, nothing much on the shelves, and a bed and a table. That's all that was there. And so he was visiting this lady out. Maybe she was sick or something, hadn't been in church, but he went by to see her. And he noticed a really beautiful framed document in a gold frame. And it wasn't pure gold, just a gold painted frame. And so he said, what is that? And she said, you know, I worked for the Queen of England for many, many years. In fact, most of my life. And when she died, she gave me this piece of paper. And so I just hung it up on the wall and remembers her. He said, may I look at it? So she said, yes. So he reads the document, and he said, do you know what this says? And she said, no, I'm sorry, I don't read. And he said, let me tell you what it says. It says, I thank you for years of service to me. And I'm leaving you an inheritance. And all the rest of your life, you can live in the palace where you've always lived these past few years. You'll have all your food, all your clothing, everything you need provided for you. And she had an inheritance, but she didn't know she had it. And I think many of you, or many Christians, have an inheritance. Y'all have an inheritance, but you don't realize what you have. And so I want to talk to you about one in part of your inheritance. In John chapter 10, verse 10, a very familiar message, scripture, starts off that Satan comes to steal, to kill, and destroy. But Jesus said, I have come to qualify you for something. I have come to give you life, and life more abundantly. Now, that's one of my favorite scriptures, because, you know, life, this scripture tells us that there are more than one level of life. He said, I came to give you life. We know he's talking about eternal life, because he's talking to live people. Amen? And so, you know, you're not really alive unless Jesus made you alive. Amen? That's why you must be born again, to get life, that you might have eternal life. But he says, I've also came to give you abundant life. So what does abundant mean? Abundant life mean? Well, I did a study one time. That word abundantly means, is the Greek word prismos. It has many, many meanings. Now, I'm just going to give you a few of them. One of them is extravagant. And so if you think about that, when Jesus said, I came to give you an extravagant life instead of abundant life, what do you think about? See, extravagant is not, it's a lavish lifestyle. Remember the old show they used to have on TV called The Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous? Well, that's extravagant. You know, this maid, she wasn't living in an extravagant house, but she had an inheritance from an extravagant palace. Another word means excessive. Well, what does excessive mean? It means more than you need or more than enough. More than what you got right now. He came to give you an excessive life. Another word is extraordinary. See, most people think, I just want to be ordinary, live an ordinary life. But God came that you might have a more than ordinary, extravagant, excessive. One more word is overflowing. See, God, I believe God loves it when you have an extravagant life. We live an abundant life. I believe God loves it. In fact, Psalm 35, verse 27 says, let the Lord be magnified. Let the Lord be magnified. What does magnified mean? It means like a magnifying glass. It makes it bigger. See, sometimes we got a picture of God just being an old man with long white hair living on a golden throne. But I was thinking yesterday, in fact, I was laying in my pool. I'm looking up at the sky. I love to see the sky, the stars, or not stars, but the clouds and the blue skies. We got beautiful skies here. And I thought about, you know, how big is God? How big is God? God is bigger than what we can see. Because what we can see, God created. you know, things that we can't even see. They're so distant away. God's bigger than them. I mean, that's big. He says, let the Lord be magnified, who has pleasure. Who has pleasure. You know, pleasure is enjoyed. Amen? Who has pleasure in what? In the prosperity of his servants. So what is God saying? He says, Justin, I love it when you're doing good. Pastor Robert, I love it when you're doing good. Gabe, I love it when you're doing good. That's what God is saying. See, God is not against you doing good, enjoying life. Life ought to be enjoyed. It ought not be a dread. It ought to be a bad thing to get up in the mornings. It ought to be a good thing. Because God wants you to have a good life. See, when you're doing good, it gives glory to God. So on the other hand, if you're not doing good, does that glorify God? No. The word blessed means empowered to prosper. To empower to prosper. One of the first things that God told Abraham before his transition from where he was to where he's trying to go, let me just tell you, my title of message is Here to There. He was here, but he said, God says, I'm going to transition somewhere else. And he says, you have to leave here to go to there. You can stay here today, but to get there, you're going to have to make a move. Now, I'm going to tell you at the end how to make a move. Amen? Here's what he told Abraham. He said, I will bless you. What's he saying? I will empower you to do good. See, the word prosper doesn't just always mean money. You can have all the money in the world and be sick all your life. You'll not be prospering. God wants you to prosper in all things. That's what 3 John says. So he's saying, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to empower you to do good where I'm sending you. That you might be a blessing. That you might make a blessing. And I'm going to make your name great among everybody else. And so it takes God's blessing to get you from here to there. Amen? You know, trouble is many, many Christians, they break the chain of blessings. See, blessing is a chain. God wants to bless you, Jesse, that you might bless somebody else. Now, they might bless somebody else. And what you bless is going to come back to you. God said, I will bless those that bless you. And I will curse those who curse you. That's a promise from God. See, God desires you to live an abundant life, but also a blessed life. And it takes a blessed life to live an abundant life. You know, a lot of Christians think, well, you know, I don't want to bless somebody because that might rob me of some blessings. That's just being selfish. God wants to bless you to make you a blessing that you might get blessed back. Amen? In Proverbs 10, verse 22, it talks about this. It said, it's the blessing of the Lord that makes one rich. He's not talking about spiritually rich. That's part of it. When you give something, you're going to get something back. Amen? And if you turn your Bible in 1 Kings, that's where we'll bring the message. That's just kind of prelim. In 1 Kings 17, Elijah comes on the scene. We don't know a lot about post-Elijah because it just starts right there. It says Elijah the Tishbite. We know by reading 1 Kings and 2 Kings that he was a prophet, that he was a mighty man of God, that he was in covenant with God. But you know that you right now have a better covenant than Elijah had, that you have more power. He didn't have the Holy Spirit. He just operated in obedience. But you have the Holy Spirit. In fact, just let me give you another word for abundantly. It's used in the Bible. Ephesians 3:20 says, now God is able to do exceedingly abundantly, above all we can ask or think. We stop right there a lot of times. But it says according. It's limited to something. According to the power that works in you. Did you know you have the fullness of the power of the Holy Spirit inside you? Amen? So because you have the power of the Holy Spirit working inside you, God can do things more than you ask. Maybe he's not asking enough or believing enough, but God can. So here's Elijah on the scene. He says, in it says that God said, I'm going to take you from here, where you're at right now, and I want to take you to another place of provision. In verse 1, it says, Elijah the Tishbite of the inhabitants of Gilead said to Ahab, and Ahab was king then. He says, as the Lord God of Israel lives, before whom I stand, there shall not be any dew or rain these years except at my word. Can you imagine how powerful it is? Can you imagine? What's your name, son? Jaden? Can you imagine Jaden going up to President Biden and said, you know, hey, Joe, because all you've been doing in America, it ain't going to rain no more in America, except at my word. Man, that's powerful. That's faith. That's knowing who you are in God. He said, except my word. You know, sometimes words that are coming out of our mouths may be what's keeping you where you are. You know, Elijah might have had second thoughts because I'm living here. And I just got through declaring a famine, and I'm going to be a part of that famine. Amen? So many times, you know, what comes out of our mouth keeps you where you are. You know, Elijah, he was frustrated with what's going on around him. I am too. You probably are too. But what he declared affected him. You know, you may be doing the same thing. You may be saying, well, I don't know why everybody else is getting blessed, but I'm not. I can't understand why Pastor Travis gets good things and lives in a nice house, and has a boat, goes to the lake, goes on vacation, has good vehicles. I don't know why he's blessed, and I'm not. You might say, well, nothing good ever happens to me. I know you said, don't lie. I've heard y'all tell me that some. Well, Pastor, nothing ever good happens to me. Or maybe you're saying, well, I ask God all the time, but he never answers my prayer. See, you're declaring something. You're declaring things. In Proverbs 18:21, thank you, Missy, for opening a message here for me. It says, life and death are in the power of the tongue. Life and death are in the power of the tongue. I preached on the power of the tongue one time, and back when we had Saturday night service. And I went down to the farmer's market, and I bought a beef tongue. That thing weighed about 10 pounds. It's this long. And so I had this bag, and I had a pistol in there. I had a hand grenade in there, and I had two or three things, a knife, and then I had this tongue. And I said, I got one of the most powerful things in the world in this bag. You know what it is? And I pulled out the pistol and I said, this is not it. I pulled out the knife and I said, this is not it. I pulled out the hanger and I said, this is not it. And I pulled out the big old tongue and I said, here's the most powerful thing that you have. Because you either curse yourself or you bless yourself. Come on. Amen? Life and death are in the power of the tongue. Let me read to you out of the contemporary version, verse 20 and 21. It says, make your words good, you will be glad you did. Talk too much, and you will eat everything you say. Come on. There's some of you just talk too much. Amen? You talk about your problems. You talk about your situation. You talk about your have-nots. Come on. You just talk yourself in eating what you're saying. The Passion says this, your words are so powerful. Your words are so powerful, they will kill or give life. The talkative person will reap his consequences. See, what you're saying is probably what is keeping you where you are right now. It's keeping you here. Amen? What you're saying is keeping you there. In Proverbs 6, verse 2 says this, you're snared. You're snared. What's a snare? It's something that traps something. It can be a trap or anything. You're You're snared by what? By the words of your mouth. You're in captivity because what you're saying. You know, Job realized after he lost everything. You know, everybody always talks about poor Job. Well, why did it happen to Job? There's got to be a reason. There's got to be a reason something happened. Things just don't happen by chance. There's got to be a reason behind your consequences. And Job lost all his kids, all his livestock, all his servants, lost everything. And then he got boils on his body. His wife got mad at him. His friends got betrayed him. And I'm sure God was saying, no, why did this happen to me? I was a good man. In fact, God, your word says I was the most righteous man in the land. Why did this happen to me? Job had a revelation. He said, the thing that I feared the most has come on me. But then at the end, chapter 22 or something like that, God says, Job, whatever you declare, you're going to establish. So begin to declare, I'm paraphrasing, begin to declare what you desire instead of what you dread. You've been desiring what you've been declaring what you fear. Come on. There's some of y'all too. Everybody got so fearful of COVID. Everybody's got so scared of the economy. Come on. And you're declaring this. Well, I'll probably get sick. I'll probably catch it. I'll probably die. Come on. He said, whatever you declare, it will be established. What does that word established mean? It's like taking a fence post, digging a big old post hole in concrete in there. That's getting something established. When you declare things out of your mouth, you're establishing things in your life. Job been doing it over and over and over and over. One reason, he didn't have the Bible. He didn't have James chapter 3. Chapter 1, 2, and 3. You must realize the power of your words. Because the Bible says you and I are created in the image of God and according to his likeness. See, your words, listen to me, it's not about power of the tongue today. Your words can either destruct your life or your words can create your life. Jesus, he gave examples. He declared those things he desired. Remember when he cursed the fig tree? His words what dried up the roots. See, what's coming out of your mouth may be drying up that root, that vision, that desire of that house, that desire of that good life, that desire of retirement, that desire of good health. It may be because you're drying it up with your words. It's okay to ask for prayer of agreement. There's nothing wrong with that, saying, well, you know, would you pray for me? I'm sick. I've got cancer. I've got heart trouble. I've got arthritis. I've got rheumatism. I've got this, that, and the other. There's nothing wrong about power of agreement, but continually complaining keeps you where you are. God wants you to get you from here to there. You keep griping and complaining, getting your little pity party. It's okay to get somebody to pray for you. I've had people, I believe this, and I've seen more miracles in the last 5 years than I've seen in my entire life. Everywhere we go, we see miracles. And, you know, I expect it can't mean everybody to get healed. I really do. And I'm not going to be disappointed because I believe everybody's going to get healed. But sometimes this happens. I have people say, oh, well, you know, I didn't feel a thing. I still have the pain. Where's Bobby Gibbs? Bobby. I mean, Bobby came here. You had pain in your back because you broke your back. Last camp meeting we had. Broke it 3 times. He was living in extreme pain, couldn't sleep. He came down. I prayed for him. He went down in the Spirit how many times? About 7 times, I think. He's kind of like Naaman. He just kept going down. And I asked about it. I said, where's your pain level? He says, when he got down, he said, it's over a 10. I prayed for him, went down the Spirit, got back up. Where is it? It's about a 7. I said, that's not good enough for God. You know, God does total healing. He doesn't do partials. He's not on a payment plan. That just reminded me. Hi, Ruth. Ruth is our spiritual daughter in Uganda, and she told me earlier this morning, I saw that you were preaching in church today, and I'm gonna watch you. So, hi, Ruth. Amen. All righty. Oh, I got confused. No. Oh, I did. God doesn't work on a payment plan. So I said, oh, he went down for the third time. Gets back up. I said, where's your pain level? He said, it's about a 5. I said, that's not good enough. Kept going down. Finally, I said, where's your pain level? He said, it's completely gone. Did you not sleep good that night? Amen. Are you still healed? 3 years ago? That went 3 years ago? 3 years ago. Still healed. See, God doesn't do partial treatments. Well, come back and see me next week, and I'll hear you the rest of the way. You know, sometimes that you leave. You know, Jesus prayed for people, and as they left, they got healed. I've had words of knowledge for somebody in a service and say, you know, God's healing somebody of a pain in the pelvis right now. And they get up, and they don't even get down here. They get healed before they get here. That's the way God does it. It's always God's will if you live in abundance in your health or your wealth or your whatever it is. You know, I say continual complaining keeps you where you are. I have this one lady. She calls me all the time. Every time she calls me, she complains about something. Complains about her situation, how bad it is, how, you know, it's just not going to get any better and all this and all that and all that. Or I get a text, you know, it's all about complaining. Complaining. I want to say, shut up. Really. I mean, I've heard this for years. Same story. Just different places, different people. Complainer, griper, not about what's going on in the White House, but what's going on in her house. And see, that's continual complaining is keeping her right where she is, here. God wants to get her to there. Verse 2, it says, then the word of the Lord came to him saying, get away from here. You know, get away from here and turn eastward and hide by the brook Cherith, which flows into the Jordan. So here, he's in a drought, and God says, get away from here and go to the brook Cherith. You know what the word Cherith means? Everything in the Bible has meanings, words. It means cut off or separated. You know, God wasn't saying hide from Ahab or your adversaries, because he done ticked Ahab off, because he said it ain't going to rain. It hadn't rained. So I imagine Ahab and Jezebel are really ticked off at Elijah for saying that. They probably took 2 days to figure it out, but they got it figured out. He didn't say hide from them. He means cut yourself off or separate yourself. See, God wants you to get away sometimes, get with him. In Psalm 119, verse 14, he says, you are, talking to God, says, God, you are my hiding place. You are my hiding place. You are my shield. He says, I wait for your word. God gave Elijah a word. He says, now wait there for me. Stay in my presence. I'll give you another word. Sometimes you won't get all your instructions on the first word God gives you. It may be step by step by step by step. I remember in 1996, we built our dream home in 1984. In 1996, Luann's out working in flower beds, and God says, change. And we didn't know what change meant, but we began to meditate on that word change. God, what do you mean by change? And he didn't give her the whole picture. Well, we began to change. I was traveling maybe 100,000 miles a year buying cattle, and the girls were starting to rodeo, needed a place for our horses. We had to rent a place out in our country stalls. Luann had to take them to school, had to take them out to feed the horses, had to go back that afternoon to ride the horses, go back that afternoon to feed the horses. And so we needed a new place. Our kids were in Christian school. God says, take them out of Christian school. Why? I don't know. But we did. We were going to this particular church there, and Luann was in leadership there. She taught women's ministry. And God says, change churches. And so we had all these things begin to change our life. We sold our house, bought where we live now. Took girls out of school. Changed churches. Ended up in this church there, and we walked in the first day, and I thought, man, I don't like this place here. Little bitty. You could have put everybody in that church in this section right over here. That's how big it was. It's small. And we look around, didn't see anybody we had anything in common with, you know. But I felt like this is where God sent us. We were here, now we're there. And then the church eventually built a new building. We moved out there. The pastor came to me one day and said, oh, me and Luann said, oh, I want to start a Saturday night service in our church to make it grow. And would y'all be a part of it? We said, well, that's Friday night. We always have dates on, or Saturday night, we always have a date on Saturday night. And we prayed about it, and God said, no, be a part of it. And so he came to me, this guy, I mean, he doesn't know a cow from a goat. Well, not really. I mean, he's really ignorant about Western things. He knew I was a cowboy. And there was two other cowboys in the church. He said, I believe God says start a cowboy church. And I said, Pastor, I said, I've been a cowboy all my life, and cowboys don't like churches. You know, we don't have church clothes. Or we don't have to act in church. And he said, I really believe that. I said, okay. So he said, I'm going to preach one Saturday night. You preach one Saturday night. This other guy's going to preach the other Saturday night. I said, okay. You know, I preached at rodeos, but never had preached in church like that. I said, okay. So we started out, and he said, I think you're supposed to preach the very first one. I said, okay. And so I preached that night. We had all three TV stations show up. And it was quite the thing. We made headlines in the paper, and God just did things. Remember, God said, change. And so he preached another time, and the other guy preached another time. And he said, I believe you're supposed to preach all of them. And I said, man, I'm busy. I'm buying cattle. He said, I believe you're supposed to preach. I said, okay. So we did that. We were there, and God moved us to another there. Moved us to Westover School. We was there a year and a half. God said, build a church called the Dream of Life. We moved here. See, this all came through a word from God. See, one word from God. That's why it's so important that you get in the presence of God every day. How can he direct your steps if you don't know where you're going? God wants to direct you. He's got good plans for you. He's got to reveal them to you, though. He's not going to give you a book. It's in the Bible, but he's not going to give you a written set of instructions. He's going to speak to you. That's where that inspiration goes to revelation, through meditation. When you begin to meditate on the word, and God will give you a word. And so he tells, go there and hide your place. Hide. In Psalm 119, verse 105, he's talking about a word will direct you to your promised land. It says, the revelation, this is Passion Translation, the revelation of your word. You know, revelation is just more than just reading the Bible. God told Joshua, he said, you want to be successful? You want to live an abundant life, Joshua? He said, you want to have to meditate in the word day and night. See, so many people try to read the Bible like a book. You can't read like a book. You got to read like the voice of God speaking back to you. You may not have to, don't try to speed read and see how many chapters you can read in a day, how fast you can get through the Bible in a year's time. Read the word and meditate on it. That means the word meditate is like a cow chewing a cud. You know, she eats a big old half bale of hay and chews it and swallows it, but then she's not through with it. See, so many times, this gets a little crudy. She'll, after a while, you know, after she's ate, well, she'll think, man, I didn't get everything out of that hay. So she burps it back up in here and chews it again. That's called chewing the cud. And then you swallow it again. A little later on, she's like, I need a little more nutrition. So she, bleh, and here it comes again. Chews on it. That's the best way to describe the word meditate. It's chew on that word day and night, day and night. And all of a sudden, man, I got a revelation. I mean, when I got a revelation in John 14:12, where Jesus said, these things I do, you will do also, and greater things shall you do because I go to the Father. When I got revelation of that, it was right before camp meeting. I had wristbands made. John 14:12. Be a doer of the word. Be a doer of the word. And it changed my life. That's when we started seeing people get healed dramatically. We started believing for God, every person in camp meeting get healed. And I remember we never got 100% there, but we got 95% or better every time. Amen? God did it. Meditating on the word of God. I see I'm way over time. Sorry. All righty, I'll hurry. The revelation of your word makes my pathway clear. Verse 5 says, so he went. See, he's here, but he's got to go somewhere. He went. You got to make a move. Come on. Faith is a move. He went and did what? According to the word of the Lord, for he went and stayed by the brook Cherith, which flows into the Raven, into the Jordan, where the ravens fed him bread and meat every day, and he drank from the brook. See, to get there will require obedience on your part. You know, you may not like what God's telling you to do, but if you want to get to there, you better do it. See, if you want to get there, require the obedience to your word. You may not like to read your Bible every day, but it may take you reading and meditating on the word of God to get you there, where God can reveal his perfect will for your life. You may not like to pray every day. You may not like to do a lot of things. You know, sometimes to get there financially, you're going to have to start tithing. You may not like tithing. You may not believe in tithing. But to get to there financially, you may have to start tithing. That's being obedient to God. See, you will never get there disobeying God, whatever it is. You may not want to be faithful to church. Come on. But to get to there, you're going to have to be faithful to church. Why? Because the Bible says, do not forsake the assembling together. See, you realize after COVID that many churches are drying up. Thank God we got churches that don't dry up. You know, I heard a prophetic word the other day said that because people that stayed faithful to me during COVID and kept church going, come on, he said, they're going to increase dramatically. That's this church here. It's this church. There's other churches. Prophetically, God said this. He said, because they didn't, he said, I'll close their doors. He said, you let the government close your doors, I'll close them now. Amen? You got to be faithful to church. Well, Pastor, you know, that's the only day I have off. I think God said this is a special day right here. Keep it holy. It's okay to go on vacation. It's okay every now and then to miss church. But God wants you hooked up to a church. Why? There's many, many reasons, but one of them is you're a vital part of this body. God needs your gift here. But you also need to be in church. Another thing that may need to be obedient about is repenting for something. We repeat, but we don't repent. I'm guilty as you are. You may have to forgive somebody. You know, if you want to get there, you may have to say, I had wrong thoughts about you. Would you please forgive me? In 1 Kings 7, I'm closing. Verse 7 says, and it happened after a while the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. You know, Elijah could have thought, well, this is all God has for me. God sent me right here. I've been taken care of. But now the raven's gone, the brook's gone. Maybe it's all God has for me. See, contentment where you are will never get you there. And a lot of you here today, you've just been content in your walk with God. You thought, well, this is all there is. You know, I'm still sick, still broke, still things going on. This must be all there is. See, that's contentment. God wants you to move. God wants you to make a move. Verse 8 and 9, I'll close. It says, then the word of the Lord came to him, saying, See, it took another word to move him from here to there. God may give you a word one day. Well, start tithing. So you start tithing. And you increase, like the word says. But you still want to be more of a blessing. There's things you more you desire. And God says, increase your offerings now. Increase your offerings. Well, I think I'll just stay where I am. I'm kind of comfortable. I got all my needs met right now. See, God's going to try to get you higher into more abundance to get you there. Verse 9 says, and go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and dwell there. Next move. You keep reading through Kings, we'll see Elijah continue moving at the word of God. See, I've commanded a widow there to provide for you. You know, God always has more. I've been teaching a series on Wednesday nights on the gifts of the Spirit. And, you know, one of the first things I told those that were there that first time is that, you know, God has given you a gift, every one of you. I don't care if you come on Wednesday nights or not, God still has a gift inside you. If you're not using the gift of God, you're wasting the gift of God. But God wants you flowing the gifts of the Spirit. And so you got to, sometimes it takes faith to get to there. You may just have to get here on Wednesday nights. You may have to start operating in the gifts. In fact, last Wednesday night I had people operating the gifts. And you know what? There's five or six got up and gave a word of knowledge or a word of prophecy. It nailed everybody. But it had to take from get to here to there. You got to do something. You got to move. But in closing, I want to tell you that God has more for you. The Bible says that your eyes have not seen, nor your ears heard, or your mind even comprehended all the good things that God has prepared for you. It's not just in heaven. It's not just in heaven. God wants to bless you here. He wants you to live a kingdom life here. That's why Jesus said, pray this way. Our Father who art in heaven, that's where he is. But his Spirit's right here. Hallowed be thy name. Your kingdom. What's kingdom mean? It means king's reign. Did you know the Bible says in Revelation that he has made you to be kings and priests? Did you know he's given you all authority on this earth? He's given you dominion on this earth? He desires to bless you, to live a good life. You're more than a conqueror. You're not just a conqueror. You're more than a conqueror. I asked God one time, I said, what's more than a conqueror? He said, well, a conqueror has to fight. He has to go through the battle. Jesus is my conqueror. He battled sin. He battled sickness. He battled cancer. He battled heart disease. He battled everything. He battled the devil. Guess what? He won. So what is more than a conqueror? I can preach another sermon right now. What's more than conquer? It's getting the benefits of what he conquered. Now, I have victory. Come on. I have health. I have healing. I have abundance. Why? Because he's a conqueror. He conquered poverty. He conquered lack. God has more for you. And I want to inspire you. Don't be content where you are. Don't be content in your spiritual walk. Don't be content in your relationship with God. Don't be content with your life. If you want to live in a rundown place all your life, that's your choice. But desire more. Desire more. Desire more. Amen. Let me ask you one more thing. Is there that time in your life that you know that you know that you know? See, I know when my spiritual birthday was, June the 22nd, 1972. Came back from a roping one day. Decided I was going to clean my life up. Said, God, if you exist, change my life. I didn't know if God existed. Hadn't been in church half a dozen times in my life. God did a miracle in my life. That's why I remember June the 22nd, 1972. I remember the next day. That began my walk with God. And I was thinking the other day, you know, many times, you know, we try to witness to people and say, do you know Jesus? You know, I've never had anybody tell me, no, I don't know Jesus. Everybody knows Jesus, but that's not what we're talking about. I'm talking about a personal relationship with Jesus. See, I know President Trump, but I've never shook hands with President Trump. I've never shared a meal with President Trump. Never stayed in President Trump's house. Never played golf, but I want to with him. I know I can beat him. Amen. Amen. Y'all got faith like I got. But I don't really know him. I can say I know him, but I don't really know him. You can ask him, well, do you ever pray? Well, most people pray. I mean, to be honest with you, before I ever got saved, I prayed. Why? Because there's something inside you know there's a higher power. I remember one time I did something that was going to get me in a lot of trouble when I was in high school. I just prayed, said, God, don't let nobody find out about this. Didn't happen. But I forgot about that. So you say, well, I talked to God. Well, that doesn't qualify you. Anybody can talk to God. You say, well, I believe in God. Well, the Bible says even the devils believe in God. I'm talking about where the rubber hits the road. So that time that God came to your life and changed your life. See, if you're having that change, you need to get changed. That's why Jesus said you got to be born again. That's why the Bible says, if any man's in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things pass away. Behold, all things become new. There's got to be a timeline in your life that you know that God changed your life. And that's more. That's more. See, the abundant life can't begin outside him because he is life. You got to be born again. You got to be born again. So I'm just going to pray a very simple prayer. If you want to invite Jesus Christ in your life, maybe you said, well, I've already prayed that. I've been to the altar, got a Bible and all that. I mean, if you've never really made that connection with him, but you really believe that he is the Son of God, that you know him as your personal Savior, not as a Savior of the world. Just pray this prayer. Say, God, Father God, I'm praying in your Son's name, the one who died for me, the one who gave his life for me, the one who paid the penalty for my sins. I'm asking you right now to forgive me. Come into my life today. Give me a God encounter. Change my life so that I'll know that I know that I'm going to heaven, that I have you in my heart, that you're my personal Savior. And when people say, do you know Jesus? I say, I know him. I know him. I know him. Amen.
Thank you for joining us today. You can stay connected with us through our website, arenaoflifechurch.org, or follow us on Instagram or Facebook. God bless you and keep you.